May the words that I speak and the words that you hear be God's alone. Amen. Please be seated. Today is a joyous day. But it's impossible to come here today and not think about the events that we've been hearing about for the last couple of days. It would be negligent for us to come and pretend that the outside world doesn't exist. That is not what we're called to through the waters of baptism. And so how do we address such horrific events on such a miraculous and happy day? And that is why I am so grateful for the gift of the prophetess Hannah being part of our readings today. This morning we learned the story of a woman who, like many of her time, was one of two wives. Peninnah, the other wife, had many children. She did what she was supposed to do as a woman and carried out her duty. But Elkanah still favored Hannah. Much like the story of Rebecca and Sarah, we learn of a man who comes home from the temple after having sacrificed and gives a double portion to Hannah, who wonders what he can do that will be enough since he can't fix this problem of her barren womb. And he says, "It's okay, I love you anyways. Aren't I enough for you?" But still, Hannah feels empty inside. And so Hannah goes to the temple and bows down before the Lord and screams out the deepest desire of her heart. She cries out in a way that was not entirely common at the time. Communal prayer was held up, but Hannah is held up especially by American Protestants as an example of individual petition and prayer. Hannah shows us how to go to the temple, bow down before the Lord, and say what is our most raw place, to name it and claim it, to not be ashamed of it, and to give it to God. She unabashedly throws herself down to the point that Eli, the priest, thinks she must be drunk. There can be no other reason that a woman would be this hysterical. But she's not. She's just that raw and that honest that she opens those places to us. I know many of us probably felt that way on Friday. Many of us probably still feel that way. How can this be happening again? How can we believe in a God who allows things like this to happen? If you came here this morning for that answer, I'm sorry that I am going to disappoint you. You can ask about how I became a priest later, but I can't tell you. I struggle with that question just like you do. How can we live in a world where this happens again and again and again and cry out? And so last night when I got home from diocesan convention, where I got to spend the last couple of days with Jim and with George, I turned on the internet and decided I was going to do some research. I needed to know what had been happening in Paris while I had been locked in that cathedral. And it was horrific. But it reminded me of so many other things, because things like that unfortunately happen every day all over the world. We remember some of them. Boston Strong. Remember 9/11. We can go back in history. We remember various times that things like this have happened. But what struck me when I was reading it yesterday was a news story that I kind of felt like I remembered from Kenya. 147 students killed at a Kenyan university in April. And it was popping up on my computer like it was new, like it was fresh, like it had happened again. And as I asked myself, why is this popping up again? I realized that for some people, they hadn't heard about it, or if they had, like me, they had completely forgotten. Until I saw that headline again, I forgot about the massacre of 147 innocent college students in Kenya. It wasn't an always remember 9/11. It wasn't a Boston Strong. It wasn't the massacre that happened in Paris. It was in Africa. We can't relate as closely, and so it's more difficult for us to call those things to mind. Every single day, things like this are happening, but our hearts can only handle so much. And so I kept reading through the news, and I saw a hashtag that said, Je suis Paris. And forgive me, I did take Spanish in high school. And so when I first read it, I thought the hashtag said, Jesus is Paris. It was a long day yesterday. I had to read it a couple of times, because at first I said, Jesus is Paris? Who are these evangelicals? What are they doing? What are they saying? What is this all about? And then I slowed down and read it again, saw that it was Je suis Paris, laughed at myself, but it stuck with me. I hadn't been able to let it go. Jesus is Paris. And the more I've thought about that last night and in the very early hours of this morning, the more I realize that that is true. Jesus is Paris. Because if we believe in a loving God who came to this earth to walk amongst us, to be with us, and who created us in his own image, then we have to believe that Jesus is Paris. But it doesn't end there. Because we also have to believe that Jesus is Beirut. We also have to believe that Jesus is Lebanon. We also have to believe that Jesus is Kenya, that Jesus is Boston, that Jesus is New York, that Jesus is Mexico. We have to believe that Jesus is, was, always will be, above, beyond, within, and through all of these places, because anywhere there is hurt in this world, Jesus is there. We have to believe that. I have to believe that. Jesus is Paris, but that's not the end of the story. That's just the beginning of the story. Jesus is within and with all of us in this. And so if we turn to Hannah and we ask her, what do we do with this? Because I don't know about you, but my hands are too small. I can't fix it on my own. And so I turn to prayer. That's the other hashtag I've been seeing a lot more of. Pray for Paris. There's only so much we can pray for, though, before we might feel inadequate or feel like we're not doing anything. And so if we ask Hannah, right down here, guys, you can sit right in the front row, okay? If we ask Hannah, what do we do with this? We hear first to pray. But Hannah didn't stop at praying. Hannah acted. Through her prayer, her spirit was lifted, and she lived her life in a different way. And so using the example of Hannah, that is the lens through which I read Lucinda Laird's letter from the American Cathedral in Paris. Lucinda Laird is the dean of the American Cathedral in Paris and wrote this letter to Episcopalians and Anglicans worldwide. What can you do? First of all, I ask your prayers for the victims, those who died and those who are wounded, for their families, for all those who have helped and are helping, for all who protect us, for the city of Paris, especially our cathedral community, for all those who hunger, for those who are angry, whose fear and hatred leads them to commit such acts, for hope, for light in the darkness. And secondly, I urge you to give some serious thought to next steps. Your expressions of support are strong and genuine, but where do they go? We have all held each other strong before, after the Charlie Hebdo shootings, after 9/11. We shared a strong sense of unity. I'm not really sure where I'm actually going with all of this. I only meant that our prayers must lead us to action. We can't rest on saying, I've prayed for Paris, so I'm done. praying for Paris is the start. We need to talk to our lawmakers. We need to do a better job taking care of refugees. We need to see how we can send aid to this situation, but also prevent new ones in the future. Are you feeling smaller and smaller and more inadequate as I talk? Because I know I am. My hands are too small. But all of our hands together, we can do so much. We need to talk to our lawmakers. We need to think seriously about the commitments that we make with our resources and how do we share those around the world. We need, yes, to pray and invite God into it. But as a congregation, this is a conversation we need to be having because we can do so much more than we can possibly imagine through Christ who strengthens us. So in literally just a minute, when we fill this font with water, when we baptize Carolyn and Sloan into this family of Christ, we are baptizing them into a family of people who believe in light that conquers darkness, who believe that we can actually make a difference in this world. And so we must pray, and we will pray. But we will also act. We will find ways together to be that light in the darkness. Look for the helpers. In them you will find Christ. Amen.